Daniels, St. Helena, California, June 28, 1901. Typed. Elder Daniels, dear brother, I wish to present some matters to you regarding the work at Nashville. I am desirous that every movement shall be made with due consideration, but I am opposed to bringing the work at Nashville under the control of the regular lines. In the publishing of books, the workers there should not be obliged to follow the same methods that have been followed at Battle Creek. We have the history of the large prices which have been charged by the publishing house there for the books containing the truth needed by the people. The men standing at the head of the Review and Herald office have taken upon them an authority that they were not fitted to exercise. Had the spirit of truth been allowed to control minds, the record would not be so sad, so opposed to truth and righteousness. The work at Nashville must be largely an entity of itself. The Lord is to be the counselor and helper of the workers. God has his appointed agencies, and to each one he has given an appointed work. An example has been set in our institutions which has done great harm. A spirit has been cherished which needs to be entirely put away. This lording it over God's heritage must no longer be tolerated. The directors of God's work must be men who have learned to seek him in prayer, to be guided by his Spirit, men who realize the importance of being filled with wisdom from above. Those in our institutions, from the highest to the lowest, need to humble themselves before God. There must be a revival of the Holy Spirit in human hearts. The kingly authority exercised by man over his fellow man is no longer to find recognition in our institutions. No man is to feel that he can be conscience for another. Mutual dependence is the law of the universe. The principles of truth are worked out through different instrumentalities, but there is one head over all, working through all and in all, to reveal the character of God to the world. In the carrying forward of the cause of God, there is to be no injustice, no impartiality. In the heavenly courts, the choicest treasures of God are prepared for his people, that they may work for him in the fragrance of his love. And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Zechariah 4, verse 12 to 14. Let God's servants have so great a respect for the sacred work which they are handling that they will not bring into it one vestige of selfishness or of sharp dealing. Use not God's sacred things to barter away truth and righteousness and justice and love. Let not men turn their brethren from their rights. Let them not think that God looks with favor on sharp, unholy dealing, even though it is done to build up the work. God hates all wrongdoing. Christ's love for his church is not weakness. He will bless the members when they unswervingly vindicate his character, revealing his long-suffering, compassion, gentleness, and love. He will qualify them to represent him by furnishing them with all needed help. But he will in no case serve with sin. He will not work with the man who makes merchandise of his brethren who are striving to advance the cause by writing or preaching or in some other way. When men are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, they will see the fallacy of educating in the art of selfishness. They will see that it is unjustifiable to seek to do good by robbing one who is filled with an unselfish interest to obtain means for the advancement of the work of God. This is the way in which the Lord has presented the matter before me. He told me that I was to place my business in the hands of men who could reason righteously, men who would not, by bringing needless expense upon me, draw from the funds he had given me to use in presenting the truth. Unless converted, men would not see that my interests were bound up in the work and cause of God. I could understand better how to appropriate means than those who had not been educated for years in the line of giving. Men have dealt with the publication of my books as though I was the one to be enriched. This they have done because their understanding is darkened. The Lord would not detract in the least from the just claims of the publishing house, but he desired me to place my books in the hands of men who had wise discrimination, whom I could trust implicitly, who would not handle the books in such a way as to advance their line of work to my disadvantage.
These things have been laid open before me. A great change is to take place in the moral tone of the working force in the cause of God. Only by faithfulness in service can man enjoy the favor of God. Those who are handling sacred things are to deal justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. It is God who gives success, and he expects every worker to come into right relation with him. Those who refuse to do this, they should find employment in some place where their influence will not be such a terrible power for wrong. The unchristian practices which have been allowed to come in have been a curse to the morals of all who have taken any part in dealing unfairly with the Lord's goods. God demands, and has always demanded, that his workers shall be tried and tested. Those who will not humble themselves before him, who will not confess their sins and allow their hearts to be cleansed from every vestige of selfishness, are to find no place in his institutions. Every worker in our institutions, sanitariums, publishing houses, and schools is to receive a fair remuneration for the work he does. If the workers receive suitable wages, they have the gratification of making donations to the cause. This matter needs to be adjusted. It is not right that some should receive very high wages and others, who are doing essential and faithful work, very low wages. We are all in need of the grace of God. Those who have not advanced in the path of self-denial are held responsible by God. The Lord desires that the dealing done in connection with his work shall be different from what it has been in the past. Let everyone remember that before God, his actions are as open as the day. Those who rob God must answer to him. The Lord desires those to whom he has entrusted his goods to show kindness and liberality, not niggardliness. They are not to take every cent possible from those with whom they deal. This has been done, but God despises this way of working. It is a misrepresentation of Christ. God's people are bound by their baptismal vow to reveal Christ in every action of the life. Let those who have not manifested the noble, benevolent spirit of Christ be converted from their meanness in buying and selling. The Lord will not accept one cent that has been obtained by fraud. He calls for a change, a widespread reformation. Every branch of his work is to be sanctified and elevated, cleansed from all objectionable features. The money that is needed for the advancement of the work will be brought in when those in responsible positions exercise the grace of Christ, dispensing means with justice and equity. In the place of favoring a few places with much more than the law of equity warrants, the money given by God's people is to be used to extend the work in many places. There is yet a great work to be done. We are glad to see that something has been started in Nashville. The work in this place has not years of standing. It is new, and means will be needed to build it up. Nashville is a favorable locality, and it is now possible to purchase buildings suitable for the work at less than one half of the original cost. Are there not some who will give of their means to establish the work in Nashville upon a firm basis? When a beginning has been made, a great work can be done both for the white and the colored people. This world is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is to be purified and subjected to the rule of him who shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. The true missionary spirit is a spirit of implicit, unwavering reliance upon the Word of God. We are now to exercise that faith which takes God at His Word. He has commanded us, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 19-20. He has specified the work to be done, and has told us that he will give us power to do this work. Shall we take him at his word, believing that he means just what he said when he declared that the whole world is to hear the message of mercy? He offers pardon to all who will confess and forsake their sins. The work is fast closing up, and on every side wickedness is increasing. We have but a short time in which to work. Why do not those to whom God has committed great light move out into new places? They will have to do this, whether they wish to or not, for God will scatter them into many places.
God is not willing that any should perish. He has provided abundant means for the salvation of all who will accept his invitation. If God's people had gone forth as they should, giving the invitation to thousands, many souls would have been added to the church of such as shall be saved. God's Spirit will abide with true missionaries, furnishing them with power for service. God will bless all who will trust in him. Human might and human wisdom did not establish the church, neither will they destroy it. Let the people of God awaken from their spiritual sleep. God is an overflowing fountain of life and strength and efficiency and power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. When this power is utilized, it will be more than a match for the power of the enemy. It is impossible for the man who believes in Christ to see the work that needs to be done and yet do nothing. Daily, the church is to receive from heaven the healing balm of God's grace to impart to the needy and suffering. God's people are weighted with the most sacred responsibilities and the most glorious privileges. All who believe the message for this time will go forth into the harvest field to do something for the Master, relying upon the assurance, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Psalm 126, verse 6. In practical obedience to the divine command, his confidence will increase and his talents will multiply. Mountains of obstacles will become a plain path. The spiritual desert will rejoice and blossom as the rose. Arise, ye sleeping virgins, and trim your lamps. Take up your appointed work. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 2, verse 10, 11.